Blog Talk Radio.
He rose from that grave. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, shame is a prison, cruel as the grave. Shame is a robber, and he come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from
Welcome, Welcome. That was the First Apostolic Church in Maryville, Tennessee's choir. And I was able to be there at the music conference one time, and that is an exceptionally spiritual church. So if you ever catch yourself up in the Smoky Mountains going up there for a getaway, you would not be doing yourself justice if you didn't go by and visit that church. Tonight you're stuck with me again. Starla's still in Arkansas with our son Matt. He had a minor surgery procedure, but there is no minor surgical procedure. You know, it's always something can go wrong. There's all sorts of things that are involved with surgery. None of them at the time make you feel good. If you ever want to have something shake you up to where you all of a sudden realize your mortality is the first time you hear a doctor say, do you want to have surgery on Monday or Thursday? And all of a sudden, the real things of life sort of hit you just right in the face. Speaking of things hitting you around the face, we got you another message tonight that I think is one of those that's important for the saint and the sinner to hear. I think it's probably more so for the saint. We're living in a time where you can look on television and you can watch backyards of houses in Ukraine, and you can see swing sets and jungle gyms, and then you see military troops with weapons that kill and destroy marching across those backyards, and tanks going through there, and armored personnel carriers. We're hearing more and more where people are just walking into a public place like a shopping mall and just start shooting people. With all the changes that's happening with manufacturing of drugs right now with fentanyl, we're seeing the numbers just grow and grow where people are seeking something to escape the things that are bothering them in this world, and they're just dying. And some of the things they think they're taking are actually prescription drugs, and these pills are made to look like that, but instead it's just a pill for death is what it is. Unless you are just one person that's blessed by God or blessed that the law enforcement or medical people recognize what it is when they come and they administer Narcan, you know, to bring you back, and even that is not a guarantee. Add to all this the things we're seeing with the weather. It's just amazing to me to look at how that the weather patterns have moved from where they were for years and years. Places, I remember when I first came to Nashville, I was amazed about the lack of humidity that was here compared to what we had in Arkansas. And, of course, where Blog Talk Mom is in Mississippi, it's still humid there. If it's anything, it's gotten worse. It hadn't gotten better. It's still what it is. Of course, we're also, you know, going through this whole thing with the pandemic. I heard today the vice president that she's taking every shot that you're telling you to get, every booster and everything else, and she tested positive for this new part of the epidemic that's going on right now with COVID. And so we have those things to look at. No one is immune to the things that are going on around this world. You know, we try to lay it down, and I hear many people say, you know, the numbers of deaths really hadn't changed that much through the years with COVID. But for those of us that have seen and known people, especially those that are involved in ministry, has died through this, the horrible deaths that they died, we know that there's more to this than just being a propaganda thing. The other part of this is how many voices do we hear inside of us that makes us fear the coming of Jesus? But not enough to submit to asking, seeking, and knocking to find his will. When I say that, I so many times look at myself to where I get so caught up in the things that I want and the things that I think I need. And even in the situation where I'm in right now where it seems like in my family there's just such storm and there's just such, you know, awful things that are happening, and I'm trying to figure out why. You know, I feel like I should be one of the blessed. I should, you know, the anointed of God, you know, beautiful are the feet of those that are the anointed of God, you know. And I look around and I see things that's going on in my family and in my own household with sickness and the accident and finance and all those things that are there. And as I look around, I see I'm not the only one that's in that boat. I see, if I really take time to look, that there's other people that, if anything, have been inspirations and people to follow their life and the things that they've done that have went through far worse than what I've had to go through. But we still hear those voices. and we still hear these things that concern us and make us start to think about our thought process and following that process. And sometimes we get so involved with our thought process and what we want to do and what we think we should be doing that all of a sudden we forget to let the Holy Ghost lead and guide us into all truth. We look at something in front of us as being the landmark to stay focused on in our own mind, and instead, if we're not careful, we turn away from that landmark, which is Jesus. Of all the things that you're going to get, eternal life and the whole thing, if heaven is going to be our home that's prepared for us, and all the things, streets of gold and, you know, walls of jasper and gates of pearl, the best thing and the most important thing of all that is Jesus. Jesus. And yet sometimes in our own mind we get to getting away from that. The message tonight is also from the First Apostolic Church of Miracles. This is part one of a two-part message from Brother Kenneth Carpenter. The title of this is The Earth is the Lord's. And this was a message that the Lord led me to, because I'm not going to lie, sometimes in my situation I get to think, Lord, why me? Lord, what have I done? Lord, you know, your scripture says this, you know, and I want to stand on this scripture, and I'm trying to understand, but I'm trying to understand in my own thinking. And the Bible lets us know that our thinking is enmity between us and God. But we don't like to think of that. We like to think, because the most important thing of what we know for sure is what's in our mind, but we don't always get the big picture where it's trying to take us. So anyway, we pray that you really enjoy this message tonight. And if you would, share this with your friends, and I think this is going to be one that we all need to hear.
Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, you are wonderful. Jesus, you are awesome. Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords. Jesus, you are the resurrected one. Jesus, you have all power in heaven and earth. Jesus, I love you today. I praise you today, Lord. I magnify your name. I love you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, God. If you have your Bibles, and turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 9. Exodus chapter 9. Begin reading at verse number 29. I feel very burdened about this message this morning. I feel that it is a message that is preparing us in case you need to hear this today. The world is in a mess, and Jesus is about to return. He's about to return. And one day I will stand at a higher level of judgment than any of you will. I will stand at a higher, I will be held to a higher standard of judgment than you will, because I'm your pastor. I'll be held to a different standard on that day of judgment. You'll walk into one standard to be judged by. I'll walk into a total different standard. And I want to lead you to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I want to lead you to be ready for his coming. If you're asleep this morning, I want to wake you up. If you are kind of blasé with your walk with God, I want to stir you up. We have never lived in the lateness of the hour that we're living in right now. We need to be shook up this morning for the coming of the Lord. Can you say amen? Exodus chapter 9, verse 29. Moses speaks to Pharaoh. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know that the earth is the Lord's. Deuteronomy 10, verse number 14, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Deuteronomy 10, 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. the earth also with all that therein is. Psalms 24 and verse number 1. Psalms 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. One more verse. 1 Corinthians 10 and 26. 1 Corinthians 10 and 26. You know, God's word only has to say something once. It only has to say something once. I thought of a poor, pitiful, ignorant person who had an argument against hand clapping to the Lord. And his argument was this: it only says one time in Scripture to clap your hands. And that was his argument, that he didn't say it over and over again. If it says it once, it's as enough as if he said it 1,000 times. 1 Corinthians 10, 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For a few moments today, I want to minister to this church to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. I want to minister to you on this subject. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. Put your Bible down. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, I come before you in this most sacred holy hour. Lord, the most important thing of our lives is what's taking place right now. There's no greater, no more important time in all of our lives, God, than what is happening in the next few moments. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would use me as a pastor, as a preacher. I pray today, God, that you would use me, Lord, to herald the message and get a people prepared for your soon coming. Lord Jesus, walk the aisles of this church today. Touch the hearts of those that you fill with your Spirit. Touch the hearts of those that you desire to fill with your Spirit, God. Lord, help us today to have clarity. Help us today to receive the word. For the hour is late, God, and we must be about our Father's business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. I use four texts today. I could have used many texts today that continues to remind the people that read the Bible that the earth is the Lord's and all of the fullness thereof. You see, today we need a gentle reminder to us that the Lord is the owner of this earth. The Lord is the owner of this earth. That's why we are not working ulcers in our bellies and stress in our minds over the so-called global warming movement. Because this earth is going to be this earth as long as its creator has determined that it will be. It is not subject to the law of pollution. It is not subject to anything that man can do. The earth is going to continue to be the earth until the earth has served its God-given purpose. The Lord is the owner of the earth. So therefore, everything that has been given to us today, everything that has been given to us today has been given to us by the loving hand of the owner, and that is God. Everything we have today has come from the loving owner of this earth, which is God. In the book of Psalms chapter 50, there was some high and mighty people. There was some of God's people in Psalms chapter 50. And beginning at verse number 10, there were some of God's people that got lofty, prideful, and began to attribute their wealth and riches to their own efforts, There were those that when they brought gifts to the temple, they brought a gift to the temple as if they were doing God a favor. Now you got to get this mindset. They were so high and mighty, they forgot their creator. They forgot that God is the owner, that God is the owner of the earth, that the fullness thereof. And they got high and lifted up and very prideful in themselves. When they came to the temple with the attitude, I'm doing you a favor, God, I'm here. And especially when they brought their sacks of gold and silver, it was as if they were saying to the owner, we're doing you a favor, God. God had to have something to say about this horrible spirit, and he said it in Psalms chapter 50 and verse number 10. He said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. In other words, I want to remind you who the owner is, that animal that you rode here on. I want to remind you that gold that you have got in that bag. I want to remind you that all the beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And you've heard years ago people say that God not only owned the cattle on the hills, he owned the taters in the hills, all right? He owned the cattle on a thousand hills and the potatoes in the hills. Look at verse 11, addressing these haughty, prideful people. I know all the fowls of the mountains. He says, I'm well acquainted with all of the fowls, the birds of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. Now watch him address this haughty spirit in verse 12. If I were hungry, listen to God now. God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. He said, if I needed to eat a meal, I don't have to come to you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I really believe that we need a gentle reminder prior to the Lord coming that will help us get ready for him coming. This earth belongs to the Lord and all the fullness thereof. If you could go with me 2,000 years ago to the city of Corinth, if you could stand within the apostolic church, possibly go to the apostolic convention that's being held, you will find that they are quite divided among themselves. There are Jews there that are saying, why in the world are we allowing the Gentiles to worship with us? For after all, do you see where they shop for their groceries? Do you see where they get their meat from? Do you know they go down to the idol temples, and after a piece of flesh has laid upon an idol temple's altar, later that day, they take that piece of flesh and they take it around back and they wholesale that piece of flesh. And do you know those Gentiles go down and buy that wholesale food that's laid upon an altar to an idol god? We're not fellowshipping with them. Set them on the other side of the church. I'm too good to eat with them. And there was strife, and there was division, and there was bickering that was going on among God's people. But Paul felt it needful to address the subject. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 23, Paul begins to address the subject. And he says, all things are lawful for me. He said, there's a lot of things in life that I'm allowed to do. There's a lot of things I'm allowed to do. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify now. Now watch this now. Paul didn't have the mindset of what can he do and get by with it and go to heaven. Paul had the mindset, I want to make sure whatever I'm doing is expedient. That word expedient there means to my profit. It will help me serve God. It will help me be tethered to, connected to, glued to Jesus Christ. He said, there's a lot of things I can do. But said it doesn't profit me in my walk with God. Verse 24, watch Paul so masterfully do this. He says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. In other words, he says, don't just be concerned with what you're doing. Don't just be concerned with your own little life. He said, but look after the welfare of others. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now watch him address it. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles. The shambles was the little room on the side of the idol temple where they sold this food that hours before had laid out in front of the idol. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience' sake. In other words, he said, if a piece of meat is set before you, don't ask where it come from. Don't ask anything about it. And then he gives his reason why in the next verse. Look at the next verse. Verse 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, Paul said, before those idol worshipers ever bought that piece of meat, it already belonged to me. When that animal was given birth to in the stall, it was my animal. When that animal was being fed, it was my animal. When that animal was slaughtered, it was my animal. And yes, when that animal laid on the altar at the false temple, it was still my animal. And now that it's been brought outside and laid on a slab of wood, it still belongs to me. I wonder how much strife could be solved this morning. I wonder how much bickering could be put to silence today if we would stop claiming ownership to things that God has the ownership of, that it just simply belongs to Him. I guess one of the most horrific sights I ever saw, church, one of the most things that still is branded in my mind today, was 9/11, the towers of 9/11. But not only the towers of 9/11, but thinking that I was seeing, Brother Billy, pieces of a building fall off, only to hear that those are not pieces of glass falling off the building, but there were people that were jumping to their death. I guess that's got to be one of the most horrific sights I've ever witnessed. But now I want to show you another. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5 and verse 13. The writer of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5 and 13 said, let me show you my 9/11, Brother Carpenter. Let me show you what my 9/11 looks like. He says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun. This sore evil is that horrific tragedy. He said, I just didn't, you're following this now, right? He said, I just didn't see an evil. I just didn't see something that was evil. But he adds something to it. He said, it's a sore evil. It is a horrific tragedy. I want to show you my 9/11. I have seen a sore evil, which I have seen under the sun. Namely, what is it? Riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Now, he said, when I looked at a person who had riches, and I saw that that person did not realize that those riches belonged to God. Somehow they didn't realize that what they were allowed to accumulate the ground they were allowed to till, the knowledge that they were allowed to acquire because God gave you a brain, the land that you were acquired, that you were allowed to plant a harvest that was a bountiful harvest because God gave you a bountiful rain. He said, when I looked and I saw this, he said, there were riches kept for the owners thereof, and it turned out to be to their hurt. When you try to hold what belongs to God, whether it's wealth or your self-will, it will turn around to hurt you. When you try to keep for yourself, whether it's wealth or you for yourself, it will turn around for your own hurt. Let's continue. Verse 14. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begatteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Look at this. He said there was a man that was given great wealth. And of course today, I'm not just talking about money. We're all given great wealth in that God has given you the ability to choose him. You have no greater asset today than a self-will to serve God. We are not robots, and no, let me say, we are not bound to the devil. If you want to be released from the devil, you can be today. But you got to exercise your most powerful asset, your self-will. If you want to make it in Jesus' name, you will. If you want to overcome in Jesus' name, you will. But you're not going to do it on your own, because there is no self-made people. For it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Can you give him praise this morning? He kept those riches to his own hurt. He begats a son and he has nothing to put in the hand of his son. There's nothing to pass along to his son. Can I tell you, the greatest thing you could put in your children's palms is a life to live for God. We breathe air that's not our own. That's why we ought to praise him. We should not use the oxygen in the air to curse his name. We should use his oxygen in the air to say glory to God. I praise you, Jesus. I magnify your name. I worship you, God. The greatest thing you could lay in the hands of your children is not a lawyer telling them that they've got a great sum of money because it was in Daddy's will. But the greatest thing that you could leave in the palms of your children is that they know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That they know him, that's the greatest thing that you can leave in the palms of your children. He comes to the end of this verse 15, and he simply says, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. I'm going to tell you something. There isn't any more sadder a revelation than understanding missed opportunities. There's no more sadder people than people that have wasted years of opportunity that they could have given their life to God. They could have while they had strength. You say, do you believe in deathbed repentance? I do believe in that, but don't wait for that. Who's to say that you're going, who's to say if you're here today and you don't know God, that you're going to have a sickness that's going to linger and put you on a deathbed? What if it's a car wreck or a plane crash or a sudden heart attack or a stroke? But some of the saddest people I've ever ministered to are people that realize the revelation, they miss the opportunity. Oh, when I was young, I should have. Oh, when I was this, I should have. Well, we're not here today because we cannot reverse the clock, but we can stand here at 18 minutes after 11 on this Sunday morning and say, I believe that I'll begin to understand now that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't want to live another day with the regret of what I could be for God. Are you listening to me this morning? Missed opportunities. missed opportunities of raising your children, missed opportunities of serving God. In Ecclesiastes, he just simply says, I missed those opportunities. I spent all of my life on wealth, and when I should have been giving my wealth away, I'm not just talking about money. I lived all my life making my own schedule, which didn't include the house of God. I lived my own life making my own morning devotion, which didn't include reading my Bible or having a few moments of prayer. I lived my life doing what I wanted to do. And this man comes to the end, and he realizes that he came forth naked from his mother's womb, and he would take nothing with him of all of his labor. You do realize that the proper perspective of wealth and time, the proper perspective of wealth and time can help you withstand every storm that'll come your way. Whether your storm is self-afflicted, whether God has allowed it to be, it doesn't matter. But the proper perspective of material things can help you rebound. Job lost it all. His wealth, his health, his children. He lost everything around him. But in Job chapter 1, verse number 20, here stands a man that has lost everything financially. He is now bankrupt. His world has been turned upside down. It is the COVID-19 of all COVID-19s. He stands absolutely empty-handed. But he says in verse 20, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Well, what are you going to say, Job? And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He uses the same phrase of the Ecclesiastes with one minor deviation. The man in Ecclesiastes has come to the end of his life and realized, I've tried to save what was God's. I tried to keep in and serve myself, but it was God's. And he comes to the end of his life and he says, I'm going back. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and I'm leaving the same way that I came. But Job has a different deviation. He says, wait a minute. I do understand that I came into this world naked, and that I'll go out of this world naked. But I understand this. The Lord hath given. Sounds like to me that Job understands the Lord is the owner of the earth. Where did you get it, Job? I'll tell you where I got it. I got it from God. That's where I got it. I wonder if we wouldn't release our fingers away from things and enjoy life better when we just understand, I got this blessing from the Lord. If we saw material things, not as material things, but from blessings that from the Almighty God. Where did you get that? God gave it to me. How did you learn how to be a contractor? God helped me to be a contractor. How did you learn how to be a successful realtor? I tell you, God helped me do that. How did you learn how to be a CPA or a lawyer or a doctor? I'll tell you. How'd you learn how to do that? God did. Job said, the Lord hath given. Follow this now. You say, yeah, Bill Carpenter, but he ain't got nothing. No. That's not true. He said, the Lord hath given, and the Lord has taken away. Which simply means the one that gave it took it back. It does not say, and the Lord destroyed, or the Lord has taken away, and they no longer exist. The Lord has taken away my wealth, and it no longer exists. The Lord has taken away all this, and it no longer exists. He didn't say that. He said, the Lord hath taken, the Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Do you understand something? That when you and I suffer loss, and we know that what we lost came from God, we don't have to be in despair. The one that gave it to us just simply took it back. But do you know that God has never taken anything from you than what he doesn't give you something better back in return? He's just wanting to know how we're going to act. Because he doesn't want you to worship the blessing more than the blesser. He doesn't want you to get caught up to where you think your attendance to God's house this morning is doing the pastor a favor, or your attendance to the house of God is doing the church a favor. I'm walking down with my tithe. I got to help that poor little preacher. Hogwash on that. God wants to see, maybe, listen, if God has taken something back from you that he gave you, he just wants to see how you'll act now. Because after all, Satan said he'll curse you to your face. God, all that stuff he's got, take all that stuff away, and he'll curse you to your face, God. Oh, will he? Well, I'll take it away. And Job said, the Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name. Hey, can you worship now? Can you worship now? I know you don't have that $40 job, an hour job now, but can you still worship God? I know you come in skipping when you got that big raise, but can you come in now when the transmission fell out of your car and everything's upside down? Can you worship now? Oh, my God. Would you just praise him for a moment with me? Oh, that's probably about 20% of us, but come on, why don't you release that praise right now? I don't feel like praising. You're going to one day wish you praised God. You're going to one day wish you had praised God. You're going to one day wish you had praised God. Oh, my. Folks, in the next 10 minutes, I got to put the just stay with me for the next 10 minutes. Could you help me? Could you finish the phrase? The earth is the... And the... Come on. The earth is the... Psalms 115, verse 16. Psalms 115, verse 16. You're going to hear it again with a slight change. Psalms 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are whose? But the earth hath he given to the children of men. That's a small deviation there, isn't it? All the other scripture says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But now he makes a small change and he says, the heavens, what controls the earth belongs to the Lord. But I gave you the earth. I gave you the earth. Now, I don't expect anybody to run the aisles on this. And please don't write me off as a little strange. But I did a little research, and I found out it doesn't matter what you weigh, doesn't matter your weight, that the average person that is cremated, the average person that is cremated comes out to weigh when they're done cremating you. And you have been turned to what you came from. You have been cremated. You have been turned back to what you were made from. Still with me now? You have been turned back, cremated, turned back to what you came, turned back to what God made man from. That on average, they will give you about 6 pounds. Of ashes. There's about 6 pounds of ashes that are left. And do you know, the question is, what did you do with the dirt God gave you? What did you do with the dirt? Too many of us Christians have been led down a false trail. We're not saved by good works. Oh, we're not saved by good works. And I'll be the first to jump on the bandwagon and tell you, you're not saved by good works. That's exactly right. There's a plan of salvation that saves you. But after you are born again, you will begin to do good works. And the good works will be a testimony of your born-again experience. You've been given 6 pounds of dirt. All of us today are given 6 pounds of dirt. The question is today, what have you done with the dirt? What did you do with the dirt? It's interesting that after this deviation is made in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 115, verse 16, the heaven and even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. There's two more verses we'll look at. Verse 17, you've been given 6 pounds of dirt. Verse 17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. In other words, I gave you life, but that life led you, the only thing it led you was to a grave, because you didn't do anything with the dirt that he gave you. You had ownership of your life, and it just simply says this, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. In other words, he's talking about afterlife. And he simply says, if you didn't properly handle the dirt, there's nothing being said about your life, because the dead praise not the Lord. But look at verse 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore praise the Lord. It's talking about what two different people did with the earth. He gave you earth. He gave you earth. He gave me earth. He's given us. There's nobody. God didn't give you something more than he gave me. He's given us a body, a soul, a spirit, a will. We're all on even ground here today. But the question is, lies in your power. What are you going to do with the earth? If you say, it's my life, you forget he is the creator. If you say, I'm tired of being told what to do, you forget the Bible is the owner's manual. But if you'll stand up and say, I was made fearfully and wonderfully made by my creator. I don't know how to direct my steps. I don't know how to live my life. Jesus, it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Come on, praise him right now. Praise him right now. Woo, hallelujah. Let me go on. I'm just going to skip over some verses here. There's a parable in the New Testament. Jesus spoke a parable where he gave one man 5 talents, gave another man 2 talents, gave another man 1 talent. He said, I'm going away, and when I come back, I want to see what you've done with these talents. These talents represent dirt. They represent opportunity. You are a living, walking ball of opportunity today. You are, listen, there are incredible things inside of you because of Jesus in this house. There's incredible things for your life right now because of Jesus Christ. Stay on the course you're on, and life is very bleak for you. Stay on the course you're on, and you'll be of all men most miserable. But find yourself a relationship and hand Jesus Christ that dirt. He will blow your mind. You'll begin to walk in areas you never believed it. God will begin to turn things around you've only dreamed of. He gave one 5 talents. He said, go get busy. He gave one 2 talents, said, go get busy. I'm going away. I'm going away, and I'll come again. And I'm going to ask you, what have you done with the talent? Well, he came again. The symbolicness is the Lord's return. He's given us dirt, and he's coming again. He's wanting to know, what have you done with the dirt? One man steps out, Brother Erickson, and he said, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. Here's 5 more. I made 5 more. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. There was a man that had 2. He had 2. And he walked up to the Lord and he said, Lord, here's the 2 you gave me. And I made 2 more with it. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. He said, come on into the joy of the Lord. And then the man came walking up with 1. And when he came walking up with 1, guess what he had? He had a bunch of flimsy excuses. He walked up with 1. He said, let me tell you, I know you. I know you're a hard man. You reap where you didn't sow. You get out in fields and you gather. I knew you to be a shrewd businessman. I knew that you were hard to please. So therefore, I took this talent and I put it in the earth. Therefore, look at this talent that I gave you. And Jesus said, you wicked and slothful servant. I'm going to tell you what we need a baptism of today. We get prayed off. Would you pray the spirit of lust off of me? Would you pray the spirit of nicotine off of me? I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks need the spirit of laziness prayed off them. Just downright unresponsive, unmotivated. Feed me, put it in my mouth, burp me, take care of me. I'm entitled to life. You need to get delivered. Get up. Do something. Work. He said, you may be seated. He said, you slothful, lazy servant. You knew I was a hard man. In other words, now let me tell you the parable. If we know the Lord, he's a giver. Why should we not work for him after all he's done for us? Hey, friend, I don't even believe you're saved if your emotions don't get involved when you start thinking about where the Lord brought you from. And not only where the Lord has brought you from, but look at what he's kept you from. Oh, my God, how privileged we are to be in the house of God this morning to hear the word of the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He saved my soul. Look what the Lord has done. Come on now. You mean we can't get up and work for him? He walked to Calvary. We can't walk to an altar. He spread his hands out. We can't lift our hands up. You may be seated. Well, I'm just interested in salvation issues. I'm just interested. Is it a salvation issue? As a matter of fact, it is. I'm glad you asked that. Because he said, you slothful, lazy servant, you should at least have put it in the bank. You should at least got me a little interest on this. You've done nothing with this, but you know where you hid it? Where do you hide it? In the earth. Hey, some folks trying to take what God has given them, and if it don't minister to them, they're not interested in sharing it. He said, you lazy servant. He turned around and he said, take that person's talent, because you're going to want to know if it's salvation or not. He said, take their talent and give it to him that has. Give it to the man that's got 10. And then he said, wait a minute, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. Angels, come and get this unprofitable servant and cast him into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sounds like to me what we do with dirt this morning is something of importance today, of salvation issue. The Lord. I can't get you ready for the coming of the Lord. Some of you are wanting to know who the Antichrist is. Some of you are wanting to know what the European Union nations are lining up. Some of you are wanting some of that 666 barcode stuff flashed on the screen. I'm going to tell you something. We'll never be ready for the Lord if we don't understand the simple subject today. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We'll never understand it. Musicians, would you come? We'll never understand it. We'll never understand it. Victory, Joshua, Jericho. Go to Jericho. Shout, and the walls will come down. But would you listen to me closely as the musicians make their way? There's more instructions to Jericho than just shouting. There's more he told them. We just stop there because we're interested in walls falling down. I am too. But there was more to Jericho than just shout. And he said, there's a woman in Jericho. There's a harlot named Rahab. She hid the messengers. She hid the messengers. We made a covenant with Rahab the harlot and all her family that when we come, we would save her. So now listen, watch this now. It's just not shouting. It's evangelism. It's just not shouting. We got to get ready for the coming of the Lord. It's just not shouting. Oh, I love all that we do. But it's evangelism. There's a Rahab that fears God. I know she don't look like us, she don't talk like us, she don't act like us, but she fears God. She's cried herself to sleep many nights. She was sexually abused, possibly as a little girl. And Joshua said, when you get into Jericho, the shout's going to get you in. But get Rahab the harlot. Bring her out to safety. But wait a minute. You can't have evangelism without a church to take them to. You can't have evangelism without a temple. I don't just want to save Rahab the harlot. I want to acquaint her to Jehovah God. So therefore, God said, Joshua, tell the people that when they go into Jericho, they're going to see wedges of gold, wedges of silver, and wedges of brass. Tell them that that all belongs in the treasury of the Lord. Why? Because I'm going to build a tabernacle. I'm going to build, there's going to be a tabernacle, there's going to be something that's going to be built that's going to be wonderful. There's going to be a tabernacle, there's going to be a house of God. Tell them not to touch that. Don't touch that. But here's the sad thing. What you going to do with the dirt? Because there was one man that enjoyed the shout. Oh, yes, he did. Achan enjoyed the shout. But when he stepped into Jericho, he saw some wedges of gold and some wedges of silver. And he began to think to himself, and a Babylonian garment. And he began to think, and see, here's the thing. Why would you, being an Israelite, want the garments of confusion? Only unless Babylon's got a pull on your heart. Does the world have a pull on your heart? He said, I looked down on the ground and I saw some Babylonian garments. And I thought to myself, I'll look mighty good wearing some of those. I looked down on the ground and I saw wedges of gold and wedges of silver. And I began to look at what that would buy me. And I reached down and I took what God had intended to be used in his work. And he goes back, follow with me. He goes back to his tent. Are you with me? He goes back to his tent, Sister Orr. And he lifts up the tent flap. And he starts digging in the dirt. And he puts all the material in the dirt. You think you got it hid. Can I tell you today, Judgment Day is going to bring everything out about our lives. There'll be nothing hid on that day. You can smirk at me. You can write me off. You can blast me on Facebook. You can do all that. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day. Everything about your life will be opened up. You'll not be allowed to speak one word. Should you dare muster up enough human reasoning to speak against the judge, he'll freeze your vocal cords immediately. And you won't speak a word. There'll be such fear that'll grip you on that day. You see, so we can hide things in our earth today. We can justify why we've hid them. We can do all those things. But I want to get you ready for the coming of the Lord. Because that day, everything about your life's open. You see, really, we lack victory in our lives in many ways because we've got things hid in our tent that was never supposed to be in our tent. The joy of the Lord is so incredible when you're in alignment with our Creator. There is no greater peace in your life than to please God. There's no greater wholeness in your life than to connect with your Creator in a time of worship, in a time of praise. But somehow get in your mind that that's just not you, that's not my personality, that's not the way I do things. I don't really need Him. Oh, we don't say it. We don't say those words. But we sure act them out. You'll become the most miserable person. You won't know who you are. You look around at a large house and many cars and more food than you're able to eat. And you'll think to yourself, I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. You don't even know the counseling sessions that I have when people say, what's wrong? I'm not happy. Why? I don't know. I know. If you're not connected to God, you're never going to be happy. It has nothing to do with your wife, kids, money. You're never going to be happy. And you begin to lose battles. You begin to lose battles. You lose the battle of your own mind. Then you lose the battle of your marriage. Then you lose the battle of your children. You lose the battle of life. All because, you know why? You got something in your tent that don't belong there. You got something down inside. It doesn't belong there. So they go out to fight. Brother Hyde, they go out to fight a little old town with just a handful of people. And they are defeated. And thousands of Israelites died. They don't understand. How can we conquer Jericho? How can we conquer Jericho, this mighty city, this massive city? How can we conquer Jericho? And we can't even conquer a small little community. And God just simply says to Joshua, there's sin in the camp. And so Joshua set up a system much like Judgment Day. He brought all the tribes before him. Because there's sin here and I've got to find it. He brings all the tribes and all the families and he gives them one admonition. Give glory to God. Another translation of that is worship the Lord. It seems to me that Bible commentators believe that the test was for them to worship. If they were able to worship, Brother Erickson, it was obvious they had nothing in their tent. And he would tell the tribes to move on. You've worshiped. You've worshiped. Go on. But when he comes to Achan, he says, Achan, give glory to God. Worship God, Achan. And Achan could not. Isn't that really the way it is? People that have things in their tent that shouldn't be there, they're your non-worshippers. Now, they can blame it on style. They can blame it on a number of things. They can blame it on their personalities. They can blame it on. But the point of the matter is, you can't because you got things in your heart that don't belong in your heart. He said, give glory to God, Achan. And Achan said, I can't. What did you do? He said, when I went into victory, when we walked into victory, when we walked into prosperity, I saw gold, I saw silver, I saw garments. I took them and they're hid in the tent with me right now. They're hid in the tent. Listen to me, church. God has blessed us with this church. God has blessed us with these people. But can I tell you, we'll never praise enough. We'll never give enough. We'll never give enough. We'll never give enough. You know why? What do you see in the midst of prosperity? I don't see more people. I see more souls. I see more souls is what I see. When are you going to stop? I'm not. I see more souls. That's what I see. When are you going to calm down and just give us a lecture about how to have a happy life? I'm not. As long as there's a soul, we got to reach that soul, that soul. Come on, stand with me right now. Listen to me. He said, go get the silver and gold out of the tent. Here's the sad thing. Here's the sad thing. Your dirt, Dad, doesn't just affect you. It affects your wife. And your dirt, Dad, Mr. Aiken, it don't just affect you. You hear me today. God's trying to deal with some folk. It don't just affect you, Mr. Aiken. It's your wife, too. And it's just not you, Mr. Aiken. It's your son. It's your daughter. Because watch what happens. Joshua didn't say, go get the gold and the silver and bring Achan out and stone Achan. He said, you go get that entire family. You go drag that wife out of that tent. You go drag, those little kids are playing under trees. They're playing with their other next door neighbor, Israelite friends. They've got a future out there. That little Achan girl is going to marry that little Issachar boy. He's got a great future. He only did until daddy messed it up. Because they get Achan's kids and they get Achan's wife and they gather them together in a huddle. And there all Israel throws stones at them and stones them to death.
That was definitely not a sermon to make you want to jump up and shout and put a hallelujah out there, but there was so much meat in this message that to me, it didn't seem like there was anything else that fits the time we live in more than this message right here. I look back at my life and I can remember times to where that testimony service was talking about the test I was going through and moaning about it. And, you know, you get to looking at the Bible and you look at the people that the things that they went through. And as he was talking about Job and we look at Paul and the disciples and being beaten and thrown in prison and crucified upside down and burned in oil and stoned and left for dead. And yet you never hear them standing up and says, man, that devil, he sure is hot on my trail. Man, that let me tell you what Satan's been doing to me. I'm trying to do things for good for God and just look at what he's done. Sometimes when I'm ministering to people and I'm talking with my children, you know, I tell them that they talk about some of the things they notice is different about me now. And I have to tell them honestly that it's not because of things that I did right, but I was one of those people that had to do it wrong time and time again before I got it right. I'm thankful for the love and mercy of God that he let me take those tests over and over again. But I would love it to be for my children and people that I minister to that they can see that there's better than the things the way I did it. There's a better way of just surrendering it to God just to see that it all belongs to him. When you stop and look at it like this preacher said right here, what do we have to fear? You know, that we have a saying, what do we have to fear but fear itself? It's one of those things we can actually build up a spirit inside of ourselves where he was talking about these people, you know, pray for me to overcome this spirit of this, when all they need to overcome is flesh. And the only way they're going to do that is repenting of their sins, which means to turn away from those things, not go back to them again whenever it's convenient, not go back to whenever the urge comes, but to find an altar and, Lord, help me. You know, create within me a clean heart and a right mind so I don't sin against you. Having that power of the Holy Ghost. And even then, it takes a made-up mind. Am I going to do what I know that I should do? Or am I going to go back like that dog going back to his vomit? That's just how bad it is when you do that. I can't tell you how many times that I've talked about the children of God when they went out into the wilderness and all the things that happened when they were, you know, God moved with his mighty hand to deliver them from the slavery of Egypt. And you see all the times where they murmured and complained and they were crying out against Moses and the ministry and the things of God. And you're like, how could they forget so quick? And yet in my life, I found many, many times how easy it is to forget. As I'm looking at them and saying, how could they do that? And Starla and I have talked about this. Thank God it's been many years ago that we've fallen into that habit. To where we're like, how did I get here again? How did I get here, right here in this place again? And the whole time really knowing the answer, but not wanting to really confess it, because then the accountability always comes back on us. If there ever was a message for this day and time, it's that you're accountable for yourself. But the things that you do or the things that you don't do can affect other people around you. That's not always how it works, but it can. You know, the story about the starfish that were washed up on the beach, and they went down through there, and this guy was picking them up and throwing them back in the ocean. And there was thousands of them, and the person was saying, why are you doing that for? It's just a waste of time. You're not going to make a difference. It really doesn't matter. And as he picked one up and threw it back in the ocean, he said, mattered to that one. If we could get that mindset that what little we can do with God in it, that it can matter. That it can matter maybe just to one. This blog talk show, if it just helps one person, that was the whole agenda when this whole thing started. If it just helps one person, that's what it's all about. God has been so good to Starla and me and my family, and And as you know, Matt, with what he's going through right now, I'm thankful we got people that's praying. And you hurt for your children when they're going through something like this. You're like, you know, man, if I could just take his place, if I could just, if there was a different decision that could have been made to keep this from happening. But when you stop and think about, all these things belong to God. I don't have to worry about whatever the doctor says, whatever science says, whatever the signs around us say, whatever the different blog talk shows or the different news shows or the different politicians. I don't need to put all my emphasis into looking at those things. I don't need to even judge those people. It is so easy to sit into a church and look at people, and they say, I don't know why this is happening to me. And you look at their life and you say, I know why it's happening to you. I see how you live. But in the same way, we look at our own selves with the same blinders, and we don't see within our own self the things that are there. But this simple message here, if we just stop and realize it, all belongs to God. All of it. He's the one that set kings up on thrones. He's the one that brings them down. What did he tell us to do? Talk about them, do Facebook posts about them, judge them, throw rocks at them. What all the things is that we think we know, we probably only know half the truth, whether it's Democrat or Republican. If we just talk, think, it all belongs to God and the fullness thereof. Blog Talk Mom, let me get you turned on here. Are you with us?
I am with you. I appreciate what you're saying. I really do. And the broadcast naturally is just seemingly exactly what I need each week. I think that's almost amusing. I think, you know, like you were saying and he was saying, when we really want to know, God's going to tell us. And there was a scripture that came to my mind that there's several of them, I think two or three, but it's in Proverbs. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel, you know, in other words, he that'll listen, now that's wise. And then Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of man is right in his own eyes. I mean, you know, that, well, I'm right. You know, surely that car right behind me, I got to right slam on my brakes to make them go. You know, anyway. But the Lord, it goes on to say, but the Lord our God ponders the hearts. You know, and I have just this week, I have had a situation in my life that I was wrong, but I didn't know I was wrong. And I really had a little bit of an arrogant attitude towards anybody that tried to even insinuate. That just was not the way it was. And I tried to be sweet to them if they were that stupid, you know. It is so, but the Lord showed me I was 100% wrong. And only the Lord could have opened my eyes. But he knew my heart was not to do anything to hurt or be in error. With all my heart, I pray that. But all of a sudden, it's like the light turned on, and it was up to me to go to John, the first chapter, I believe it's the 9th verse, 1 John 1:9, that says that, you know, you come to God and you admit, you confess it. Yeah, it was me, Lord. It wasn't somebody down there. It was me. And I want you to forgive me, and then I want you to cleanse me, that I won't make that error again. And that's how God does this 6 pounds of dirt. I never heard that illustration that he brought out. But it's just like we're clay on the potter's wheel. And he's the one. We can't do it. There is no way to do it in ourselves, but we must be willing. It's his will. I love this. It's all God's will, but we have to yield our will to his will. And this is so good, Wild Bill. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
I always enjoy what you add to it and everything. I just couldn't believe I said, you said you had a couple of scriptures, and I thought, here comes Psalms 119.
You surprised me.
Went on over to Proverbs. Like she's reining herself in, folks. Whoa, Psalms 119 fits right here.
Yeah.
But
and
I do want to let people know,
to
too. How's that?
Well, you know, we've got the Woolly Worm book, and a couple of families at the church wanted to work on it, and you had told me so many times to make an audio book out of it, and I didn't like my voice. I didn't, you know, we made it during the really bad times of COVID, and I was shut in at home with, you know, I didn't have a studio, whatever, and so I was complaining. I wasn't complaining to you. I don't remember what I said, but you said those very same things to me. If it touches one life, who am I to, you know, balk in any way? Because these people just felt led of the Lord, and they worked hard to get it together. And so I appreciate your what you said. It just went right to the what I needed to hear. Not to get on professionalism and, you know, that type of thing, because this whole lesson was about that. Just put it in God's hands. Don't say, oh, I got to bury it. You know, don't tell him what happened. No, just sow that seed, and then God will do the rest. This is so good. Anyway, go ahead, Bob Bill.
No, you just amaze me sometimes with the things that you say. She was talking to me, I think it was yesterday, and she was feeling bad because she wasn't having more one-on-one contact with people. And I'm like, really? God's giving you the gospel route that's went all over the world. And even though it may not feel quite as satisfying after time goes by as what you have done with one-on-one situations with Bible studies and winning people to God, hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people have heard those songs with scripture in it and have been touched and have been fed. And so easy it is for us to look at and think that we want things to be the same way that they always were when God's got something better. You know, I'm wanting to use you for tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people with what I've given you now. Not maybe so much personal satisfaction in it after the news wore off of it, but it's still doing the work. And it is continuing to do work even after we're gone. What you started and what you did is still working out there. It's not going to return void. And so, but it's that simple thing of we lose status of our position with God sometimes. And I do it all the time where I want to put myself above God and then think of him like a genie in a lamp. He's not going to be mocked, and he's not going to allow me to sit on his throne. It's not the way it works. And he'll do whatever he has to do to make sure everything's put back in proper position. As always, folks, if anyone's got a comment or a question they want to make, all you got to do is push one on your phone. Hopefully we'll see it on the board, and we'll announce you by the last four digits of your phone number. I do want to thank everybody again that's been praying for Matt and Starla there in Arkansas. As I shared, there's nothing that hurts worse than your children going through things. And, you know, you wished you could go through it for them. You know, as I shared before, my mom got so upset when a horse hit me one time, she picked up a segment of telephone pole and threw it at him. And my mom's not a very big woman. But there's a big person living inside of her. You come after her babies, boy, you're in trouble. But looking at this from the spiritual thing, it's a personal thing between you and God. I can't give you all the answers. You can say, it seems like this preacher's doing this to me or that to me, and he don't like me, and see my people in the church are being kind of snobbish. And, you know, as long as you'll listen to this stuff, Satan's got little demons that stick their fingers in your head, and they're just stirring that up like soup. And they're going to continue to stir it until you say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to hear these words anymore. It don't matter if mama don't go, I'm going. It don't matter if the preacher don't go, I'm going. It don't matter if brothers and sisters don't go, I'm going. But yet, it all, this is so beautiful that it all belongs to God. It's his. Sometimes we get to thinking that Satan is in control of all these things that happen. We just, you know, we get to feeling like we're all on our lonesome out here, but what we feel and what is real is not the same thing. Matter of fact, it's far, far away from the same thing. I like what he said about people having, you know, no emotion when it comes to the things of God. When I think about the price that was paid for my salvation, when I think about where that I was headed without that cross and Jesus being beaten and carrying that cross and being nailed to that cross and being had that flesh had to die and then had to rise up again on that third day, I get emotional. I find myself, when I look at the things that he's done in my life, when I count my blessings, I can't tell you how And Starla probably has more knowledge of it than I do. But in this situation that we're in right now, it would seem like that the bill collectors be coming and taking our house away. It would seem like that this everything that we have worked for years and years to try to accumulate together would be gone. And yet God has blessed us with family coming to our rescue, people praying for us. A couple of times churches reached out and helped us. And it's just one of those things that when you're living for God, that I can be thankful that he's done that, because I know that God is going to turn it back over to them 10 to 100 times, pressed down and overflowing, for the people that come to help those that are trying to live for him and are going through this process. And I don't have to just feel shame for the things that I've done in my past, but I can take ownership of those things I've done in my past and say, I'm not that person anymore. I am not who I used to be. And when you understand that, and it's not through anything that I've done, but it's through what he did, that he made a way when there was no way, that he made a way of escape. And in that way of escape, he makes me want to do things to help others. He makes me want to share what's happening inside of me to happen with others. So, Block Talk Mom, we're getting down to the end of the show. Did you have anything else?
I just really appreciate everything you're saying. It seems like it's just a tapestry tonight of one situation in our lives to another one, as far as feeling beat down. And, you know, looking back and having that image of, but what you said, the way you said it, oh, yeah, I can look back and I can rejoice and I'm not that person anymore. Yeah, I did those things. I really did. And I really regret that, you know, you and Doorbells had to be come on in the very most really not good times in my life. And I was not a good parent, but I do know, and I can look back and see that God redeemed that I did, and I'm so thankful that he did, and I'm thankful for your ministry and the brilliance of my daughter Joy. She's so brilliant, and has helped me. She's amazing how many times she's helped me when in the tight when we'd be doing a funeral or something, and I go so blank, and she just get right there and tell me what to do and what I'm supposed to be doing. And so y'all have really come along and been great blessings to me, and I love you very much. And looking forward to
talk about you weren't a good parent. I was just like, yeah, I can remember sitting there with those flannel graphs and teaching us the Word of God, and you know, working in Sunday school classes and children's church, and being drugged from revival to revival to tent meeting to Brush Arbor to wherever was going on when, you know, whatever, you know. I think sometimes you forget. They say, what kind of religion? You know, we're in that dragon religion. My mom drags us from place to place. You know, if there's a service going on, we're going, you know. So, but you don't do yourself justice when you look at things like that, because none of us are perfect. There is no instruction book, and if there was, no two children are the same. I've learned that, you know, with our kids, and, you know, what worked for one destroyed the other, and what destroys one blesses another. So it's where you just have to get, that's where you have that service where, God, I'm giving them to you. And because if I try to handle this, I'm going to end up in prison, you know.
No. Yeah.
All right, Block Talk Mom. We got a couple of minutes left.
Sure. I think it's, let me see if I can, it's Revelation 12 and 10, the 12th chapter, yes, of Revelation. And it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser. Now, all we've been talking about is how Satan will accuse. He will misrepresent the truth of what God is saying in his word and to us individually. That is his big deal, is accusing in every way, shape, form, and fashion that he can do it. He wants to accuse everybody around us to us. Accuse us to everybody, you know. But anyway, It says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. It's going to be over. You know, Job is a perfect illustration. Though God slay me, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to come forth as gold. And we've got to ask God to give us that grace to say that. Lord, I don't understand. And I am hurting really badly. But I know that you're God and you're love. And that all things will work together for my good because I do love you. And we can quote that. We can't say it too many times. There's such a peace that comes with it. And Lord, I know that there's so many people. I've talked to them individually and others that are hurting so much and confused. But you are God, and the earth is yours, and everything that dwells therein. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was a perfect ending, Blog Talk Mom. We want to thank all of you who listen and share this message with other people. And I, from what I understood of this, there is a part two to this. I haven't listened to it yet, and but that's what I plan on sharing with us this next week. And I'm trying to filter out a little bit of the things on the woolly worm, and we're going to be sharing that so we can make sure. I was looking the other day of how many different countries that, you know, the people that listen to this show that I can go back on each week. It gives me a graph. I don't actually understand how this works, because sometimes it'll say zero listens, but then it shows me 300 or 400 people in this country and 700 to 1,000 in another country. So I don't understand how to read all this, but I'm thankful we have this. I'm thankful for Blog Talk Mom and Starla. Y'all pray for her and Matt while they continue, you know, with this situation with his health there in Arkansas. And also that when she comes home to her house, that she don't kill me for the mess I made of it. So Lord bless each and every one of you. And we'll be back here next week at your place. Have a good night.